the football set.
Hello and welcome to the Football Sack podcast, the Sack on Sunday, and it is so exciting. We've got the Hyundai A-League season ready to go. It's starting up next week. We're going to talk that. We're going to talk a bit of New South Wales Premier League with the grand final happening, and we're also going to look at a bit of a wrap-up of the English Premier League. Supernova Pete, how are you going, mate?
Very well. And yourself?
Yeah, very well. Very excited. Very, very excited. We've had the longest off-season the A-League's ever known.
And it's almost over. It's almost there.
Almost over. This is... It's quite feverish. It's almost the same as when we lost the NSL and we had no football for about 18 months. And, you know, we'd done a countdown, there's new excitement, new players, you know, and it's been literally about 6 months.
It definitely feels like that. But look, it's almost here. It's getting exciting. The teams are almost ready. They've entered into their competition phase of their fitness and development. The FFA are getting excited. They've released a new iPhone app. They've released a Socceroos app. Their We Are Football campaign is going crazy at the moment. So look, the season's almost here.
Let us know what you think about that Hyundai A-League app, because, you know, us podcast people, we are basically the social media people that the FFA look at and they think about, and they really want to nail us. We've had a member of our fraternity, Brian Gibbo Gibson from the Australian Football Facebook group, actually get a gig at the FFA, being in charge of digital communities. We want to know what you think about the Hyundai A-League app. Hit us up on our Twitter feed, which is at the Football Sack, or email us info@thefootballsack.com. Just let one of us know on Twitter and just really, really give us a feel for what you think the Hyundai A-League app has achieved.
Of course, and don't forget that the Hyundai A-League launch is happening on Tuesday. That's at the SFS, starting at 9 a.m. Get the first 1,000 people who are going to turn up will get themselves a free We Are Football merchandise pack, including a flag that you would have seen me waving around a fair bit, as well as you will score 2 free tickets to a Socceroos versus Oman World Cup qualifier. Now, this is just a fantastic initiative by the FFA there.
Yeah, look, it's a really good build up to the season. It's all to do with the fans. It's not a launch where you've got a, you know, a dinner where it's $200 a head and
it's not prawn sandwiches or champagne.
Will we get food though? What do you think?
Like, God, I hope so.
Some hungry A-League fans out there.
Hopefully there's a breakfast barbecue.
That's right. Well, look, I'm really excited about that. The A-League season's on its way. Let's move straight into a bit of a preview. Club by club by club, we're going to go through and we're going to give a bit of a feel for what happened last season. We're going to talk about players that have come in and out, some interesting information, and we're going to give a final prediction for each club as well. So starting off with Adelaide United, Pete, we've had a lot of movement at Adelaide United. Last season, they didn't have a bad season. They came third. They were a bit behind the boys of Brisbane Roar and Central Coast, 15 points, in fact. But Rinnie Coolan's got a whole off-season and he's really recruited well.
Yeah, most definitely. He's picked up, rather than going for the major player in the likes of Brett Emerton or Harry Kuehl, but he's gone for the quiet achiever, Dario Vidicic, who's going to add a lot to their forward line. He's brought back Brigitte, who was with Adelaide and Gold Coast. He's also got Spasa Dalevski, who people would know from Brisbane Roar back in season one. He's brought in John McCain, a fantastic Socceroos centre-back. That in its own is fantastic. And Milan Susak returns as well.
Yeah, look, they've got great young players with Dalevski and Vidicic. Vidicic scored some really, really important goals in the Socceroos qualifying campaign for South Africa. One in particular in Melbourne, I think, against Qatar. And look, he's a player who really wants to have a big season. He's been given the number 10 jersey, not an insignificant jersey to be given that it came from Marcos Flores. So
there's no pressure on him then, obviously. Nothing at all.
John McCain, excellent signing, a very solid Socceroo, very comfortable in possession. I'm tipping Adelaide to do very well this season. I've got them coming in second.
Oh, that's your preview. And for me, First.
Wow, big call. Because they lost Matthew Leckie, and they lost Travis Dodd, and they lost Marcos Flores. So
still, Rinnie Coolan's just a fantastic coach, and his squad is just brilliant. So I can really see them coming top.
Excellent. Well, look, it's a big season for Adelaide United. It's a big season for Brisbane Roar too. Do they want to succumb to the curse of the champion? Do they want
to? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they will.
Do you think they will?
I think they will struggle this season. There's no doubt about it. They will still come up towards the top of the table, but they will struggle a lot. It's that champion curse that's going to come back and haunt them.
Yeah, do you see the dominant players of any club who seem to win the A-League seeming to go to a big club abroad or accept a big money move somewhere else? Matt Mackay, biggest player to leave the A-League this off-season. We've also seen Kostas Barbarissas go to Alania Vladikavkaz. And we've also seen Giancarlo Solorzano leave. But some interesting players coming in. We've got Besart Berisha, an Albanian international. We've got Kofi Danning. We've got Issi Nakajima Ferran, which sounds like a fashion label, but it's not. and of course...
He could actually have a chat to Sergio van Dijk and start his own T-shirt line.
Yeah, exactly.
Get on board. Yeah. Football sack, bring people together.
That's right. We've got the fashion tips. In fact, today we're wearing a North Queensland Fury jersey and a Sydney FC jersey. So
oh, yeah.
We're winning.
They've also brought in Matthew German, which is a fantastic signing. And I keep saying fantastic. So if you are playing the Peter drinking game, you would probably be quite drunk right now.
Yeah.
But look, Matty German is a really, really solid signing. And he's probably going to come back and bite Sydney FC in the backside, just like Kofi Danning will.
Yeah.
Two guys that should be in the first team for Sydney didn't get the opportunities that they probably should have.
Mm.
And now it's going to suffer.
And I want to see Thomas Broish and Syed Mohammed Adnan, the Bahraini international who's come to Brisbane Roar in the off-season. I want to see their combination fire.
He's a giant, Syed Mohammed Adnan.
Yeah. And what's your prediction, Pedro?
Fourth.
I'm going third.
There you go.
All right. Now, moving on to the Central Coast Mariners. Now, a club who's been to three grand finals in 6 years.
And you screwed it up.
Look, they've got a record. They won the preseason cup, the very first preseason cup, a poison chalice, because they've got three grand finals appearances since out of the 6 year history and have not managed to convert once. And so this year they've had Graham Arnold the whole off season. We were saying at the start of last season, well, that's a guy you don't want coaching your club, but he had a phenomenal year last year. He really proved himself. He had a bit of a Brett Holman year, won over a lot of naysayers.
Yeah.
And I think with the fact that they haven't lost key players is going to be a big, big reason that there are a lot of people looking at Central Coast Mariners with, you know, high expectations.
Yeah, well, you look at some of their signings. They picked up Adriano Pellegrino from Perth Glory. They've picked up Troy Hearfield as well. And Michael Baird's actually doing some worthwhile stuff up front next to Matty Simon.
Stuart Michalik as well.
Yeah, Stuart Michalik, who now if you are playing the Stuart Michalik drinking game, every time he passes the ball forward, you drink, so drink responsibly.
Yeah, you probably won't be drinking that much. He always passes it backwards or loses possession, so...
That's okay. We still love you, Stu.
Yeah, no, he was a great player for Sydney FC, and sad to see him go. But the players that they've retained are really exciting.
Mustafa, that's the most important bit.
Yeah, look, it's the key part to their team. They're a team of team members. They're not individuals. You've got Mustafa Amini, who's really going to call the shots. Alex Wilkinson, who's been there since day dot. Oliver Bozanic, who's a great young player, captain of the Oli Roos. Bernie Abeniyise, who is being tipped by many pundits of note to be the next Mark Viduka.
Oh, so he'll sit on a boat cruising around the Croatian islands.
from Hvar to Dubrovnik, twice daily. yeah, look, for me, this is a very, very strong side. And if I was going to do a prediction, I would say numero uno campeones, number one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hard for me to say the Sydney FC fan, but seeing them beat Celtic was a big statement of intent.
Definitely. I'm going to put them second on my ladder. I think that they will get very, very close, but not close enough.
And I think a club that won't get close enough at all this season is going to be Gold Coast United.
Mainly because, from what I hear, this is what their boardroom sounds like. It's a bit scary.
It is a bit scary. You've got one of the country's richest individuals, Clive Palmer, who's seemingly closed his wallet for now. He's signed a lot of young players from state league clubs, and he's really trying to, I think, with Miron Blyberg, build something of a team. He's lost Jason Kalina, a big, big loss, but he's brought in some good state league players, hasn't he?
Yeah, for one, Daniel Severino, fantastic centre midfielder. He's great on the dead ball.
Mm.
And he's also picked up Paul Beekmans, big fan of him. He basically came across thanks to the support that Bas van den Brink showed for the Gold Coast.
Yep.
And if you just look at his team, he's picked up some very worthwhile players. Now, the player that I... I'm most interested in seeing play is Marcel Richards, mainly because I want to see him fail, because I'm such a big Alex Smith fan.
Nice. Yeah, well, that was a big story, Alex Smith. Unfortunately, having to leave the club from he joined from Sydney Olympic. He had a few months there, and then he left again. Interesting story there. But look, there's a good mix of youth and experience. We can't overlook that. We've got Michael Thwaite, who's been around the traps since the start. Joel Porter, who's an excellent.
And even Christian Reeds.
Yeah. Christian Reeds has been there for ages. But it's going to be really important for some of the youngsters to really step up this season if they want to have any chance of competing for the finals. Guys like Taj Minicon, Adama Traore, these guys have to fire. Otherwise, Glenn Moss is going to have a lot of work to do in goals.
Definitely. And your prediction?
My prediction for the Gold Coast, 9th.
10th.
Yeah, it's
bottom of the table. I don't have a lot of faith in them, to be honest.
It's not going to be good for the old Gold Coast fans at the beach. Moving on to Melbourne Heart. Now, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. During the week, Simon Colosimo lost the captain's armband.
Not good.
It's subsequently been a talking point that he maybe wants to go to Melbourne Victory.
Interesting.
That is ructions, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Matt Dragantich going the opposite way from Victory to Melbourne Heart. Mm. Now, Simon Colosimo, whether or not it will actually work at Victory, yet to be seen. But looking at Melbourne Heart's squad, like John Van Schnipp has pulled together a pretty good team. They picked up David Williams, Macon, they've got Fred.
Fred, yeah.
Those guys up front by themselves are great.
Yep, and David Williams is going to have a great season, I believe. You've got Jason Hoffman, you've got guys like Kamal Ibrahim, Wayne Schroy, who really needs to have a big season.
And Rutger Worm, just so we can see him do those goal celebrations.
And I want to see the Worm. I want to see that one more time. I hope he's been practicing this off-season. I'd like to see a big season, a return season for Adrian Zara as well. We haven't talked about him nearly enough. He got cut in half and maybe into quarters by Kevin Muscat, and a great young player. We don't want to see him get the chop again, so to speak. Great call.
Okay, so Melbourne Heart.
I got them
sixth.
I got them fifth. It's going to be a mixed bag for Melbourne Heart.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
All right, now we're going to start talking about a club that neither of us like too much, but we respect in the sense that they seem to keep stringing together some good results against all the odds. It's Melbourne Victory. Oh, strong feelings pushed there, and I know Scotty Condon's going to give us hell on Twitter, but we don't care. What is with your away jersey? It looks like you've got an OHS high visibility vest on.
It's right, the council workers.
What's going on? I mean, look, they've had a crack at the Chelsea away strip, fluoro yellow. It's interesting, it's nice, but at the end of the day, it doesn't quite come off. It's not as stylish as a Chelsea away strip. It just looks like a council jersey.
It does, and it's a bit depressing. But look, if Melbourne Victory are going to win, it's going to be because of this guy here.
He's crazy like a fool. He's Harry Kewell.
And of course, you would be absolutely lying to yourself if you weren't really pumped up about seeing this bloke pulling on an A-League strip. I mean,
there's no doubt about it.
I've got goosebumps. Like, I'm just looking at my arm right now. I've literally got goosebumps about this. It's going to be magic. The first game, October 8th, Melbourne Victory against Sydney FC. I am so pumped for that encounter.
Cannot wait for that. I'm excited.
But yeah, Melbourne Victory, it's been, again, they're a club that hasn't lost too many players as well, and we can't forget that, and that's why we think they'll do reasonably well this year. I'm going to go for them for fourth.
Third. I think that they will do well. They've got a very good squad, but what will let them down is their defence. Really, they have to sign some proper centre-backs. Because
Simon Colosimo?
Yeah, Simon Colosimo. Put the name out there.
Adrian Layer and Simon Colosimo would be a really nice combination to have.
It would be.
Two guys who've really are some of the premier defenders in the domestic front. I'd really like to see Melbourne Victory this season have strength in their leadership group. They've had a change both in coach and captain. That is a huge, huge hill to climb.
Yeah.
Mehmet Djurakovic, is he the goods? What do you think?
I think he is. He definitely has proved that during the Champions League campaign. He's played some pretty football, and he's grinded out some results. But look, the team he always puts out is always going to be the best team. And the fact that he's got now Marcos Rojas as well as Isaka Cernak in his squad, things are going to look good for them.
It's just how he manages the big egos of Harry Kewell and Kevin Muscat. That's the only concern for me, I think. Has he got the skills to be able to say to Muscat sometimes no? Because we know Muscat likes to talk, and we know that he's got
Hannibal Lecter face mask.
Just do it. Yeah, just and a straight jacket maybe as well. But look, it is, honestly, all jokes aside, sometimes I think Muscat will be very, very important for the club, but I also think sometimes that they'll need to be like the no Muscat moment as well during the season.
Yeah.
When he has the strong view, and will Drakovic be man enough to step up to him? Also, Adrian Leia is the new captain.
Yeah.
So
good move for him.
Yeah, very good move. So I thought fourth, and you thought?
I'm saying third.
You're saying third.
Now, a club who also has a new captain, Newcastle Jets. They lost Jason Chalina, thanks to a season-ending injury.
So Joe Wheelhouse is the new captain. It's going to be a season of transition. They'd made some big plans. Of course, the Hunter Sports Group, owned by Nathan Tinkler, has bought Newcastle Jets. An excellent, excellent thing for the Newcastle sporting community. He's changed the strip. They're now running around in a Barcelona/Newcastle Knights jersey. I like that.
And the away kit's Juventus.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. I think Newcastle will be a great club. It is just the loss of Jason Kalina that is so big. Of course, long gone, Lubo Milicevic, but Jason Kalina was the big replacement.
But this is probably the best time for the likes of Ali Abbas and Labino Halidi to step up and prove themselves in that first team and say, this is why I should be starting every game. And don't forget, they also have Ryan Griffiths on the wing there as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's been around the world. He can play football anywhere on the park. He's an important player. It's going to mean that Ryan Griffiths has to step up. It's going to mean that Ruben Zadkovic has to play some consistent football. We've seen him do some sweet step overs and some nice maneuvers, but the next week he just goes missing, completely missing.
My advice, the person who brings the footballs to the games, make sure you bring extra whenever Zadkovic is playing.
He just kicks it away, doesn't he?
He does. But look, the centre-back, Thiago Calvano, he's going to be the major difference for Newcastle this season.
Yep, absolutely. Ben Kantorovsky too will be looking to have a big season. Chris Payne is another, and Ben Kennedy in goals. Probably one of the worst haircuts in the A-League. But, you know, that being said, he's from Newcastle. And I've gone number 7 for Newcastle United Jets.
I've gone 8. I think that they will do well. And the fact that you're talking about Ben Kennedy's haircut, I think Matt Nash is just behind him going, that's all right, mate, I'll shave your head for you.
And we're moving on now to Perth Glory, who's done a lot of signings in the off-season.
Well, look, I actually had a chance to go to the Perth Glory boardroom, and this is all I heard. So I'm not sure how much work's actually getting done there. Yeah.
Well, they've signed Liam Miller and they've signed Shane Smeltz. So there's some reasonably big acquisitions for any club. Travis Dodd's another leader who's come across from Adelaide United. Whether that was an acrimonious split, we won't know. Of course, Robbie Fowler had left in the off-season, but they've got some great young players. Danny Vukovic will want to have a good season. He really wants to play some consistent football. Jacob Burns should be trying not to get sent off each week.
Good luck.
And we've got Victor Sikora, you know, an excellent player. But the two young guys to watch, Tommy Amphlett and Jesse Macaroonis, so pumped up.
Yeah, cannot wait to see those guys getting A-League game time and action. Look, they are the future of Perth Glory if they stick around. Fingers crossed that they do. I have a lot of faith in them. There's no doubt about that.
And I think that Jesse Macaroonis has been singing Old Man, Take a Look at My Life, You're a Lot Like Me, a la Neil Young, to Mile Sijovski as well. So Neil Young in goals, Jesse Macaroonis saying, I'm not unlike you, Mile Sijovski. So it's going to be... That was really lame.
It was.
I hope that I get rightfully pasted on the twit deck for that. That was out of order and out of line. So Perth Glory, predictions. I think without a solid coach, I think they're going to come 8th.
7th. I think that they've signed a team of individuals and it will help them along the way, especially the likes of Shane Smeltz, but they just won't finish in that top 6, and that's what's going to prove the difference.
I think you can sign every great player in the country, but unless you have a really exceptional coach, you won't make a team out of them.
They really are the Manchester City of the A-League.
Yeah.
But look, Manchester City of recent times, they've become the bling And the former Bling FC, Sydney FC.
Ah, excellent segue, Pedro. Thank you. I'll let you kick off after that.
Oh, Sydney FC. Look, they have had a shaky off-season.
Yep.
Their pre-season campaign hasn't gone to plan. Perhaps they're just saving up and they're going to prove themselves in the A-League. But if you look at their signing of Brett Emerton as well as Carroll Kissel, yep. those two on their own,
yep.
great.
And they're two players who the moment they came in, they said, look, we're a big club. We didn't have a big season last year. It's not the Sydney FC way. And there's been a lot of talk about them expecting big things, or the fans are certainly expecting big things.
Yeah.
And it's whether they deliver on those big things. Again, I'm wearing a Sydney FC jersey. You know where my allegiances lie. They've got a new CEO, Dirk Melton. So he's a guy who's been apparently meeting on a regular basis with people in the media trying to get some coverage this season. I can't wait to see whether that actually works in News Limited Press. I'm not sure.
Fingers crossed.
Not sure. But, you know, Dirk Melton's got all the runs on the board.
Well, Dirk, you can always contact us, info@thefootballsack.com.
That's right, or on Twitter.
Hit us up.
Yeah. Because we had a great relationship with Walter Bunyo, who was the president of Sydney FC in the first year, and he was all over the Sydney FC unofficial forums, and he was really a part of the fan feeling. And Dirk's been working a lot in the back room, but we'd like to see him with the fans as well. It'd be excellent for him. The fans are there with open arms, so I can't wait for it. Terry McFlynn's captain. He really needs to have a big season. He needs to be an example for the rest of the boys.
Yeah, definitely. You look at Terry Antonis, who's pushing for game time now, as well as Demi Petratos and the wings.
Yep.
Those two need their game time right now. If you look at how they've done in under 20 World Cups, they're fantastic. They're brilliant. They're excellent. They're amazing players, and they just need game time.
Yep, absolutely. And after Sydney FC won the A-League Premiership and Championship, they lost the spine of their team. And this season, they've still got Nicevski and Reddy in goals, and Liam Reddy got given number one shirt honours again. But they've signed a few guys who really are the spine again. We got Kissel back, which is excellent.
Yes.
You got Michael Beauchamp, who was an excellent, excellent player at the World Cup against Serbia. He cut out Stankovic and Krasic.
All the itches.
Yeah, all the itches. He's an important player, and he needs to be the important player for Sydney. Pascal Boshart, you know, he needs to prove himself. Bruno Cazarin, if he scores a bag of goals, Sydney will make the finals. If he doesn't, I'm not sure.
Well, bit of a hint for all A-League clubs who are listening right now. The combination up front at the moment is Mark Bridge and Nick Carl. Those two together are working really well.
Nice.
So, bit of a hint there.
Yep, and I think really Nick Carl will be hoping for that outstanding season we know he's capable of.
Fingers crossed.
Okay, predictions. I'm going to say 6. They're going to scrape into the finals.
Ooh, I'm saying 5. I think they'll just make it, but it'll be tough.
It all comes down to whether they get off to a fast start. If they don't, it's going to be a long season.
Very much so.
Okay, and speaking of a club in which we believe they will have a very long season is Wellington Phoenix. Now,
it's good to know that they're doing lots of work over there.
That's their new players.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah. They've signed 3 guys. They're already out on the grass, tending to it.
So let me see if I can get another interview with them. Hey guys, how's the football going? Oh, cool. So, what do you think of Ricky Herbert and the season ahead? Because it's going to be a long year.
There's been a lot of changes at the club. You've got a new ownership structure. What are your thoughts? Interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way before. Look, that retarded joke aside, they've signed some interesting players. They've got guys like Lucas Pantelis, who's come across, who's an excellent player, isn't he? Sotalios, who used to play at Sydney FC, has been running around for Sutherland, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. He also had a short little spell with Newcastle Jets. Didn't really work that well over there. But look, he's a player who can either play left back, right, or left wing. He can play as right wing, yep. like a Dave Carney style. He's going to be one of the players that, if he gets game time, he's going to bring goals to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to be one of those standout players. You look at the likes of Paul Eiffel up front, and he's got Chris Greenacre right next to him. Those two need to be bringing goals.
Well, the interesting thing about Paul Eiffel is he hasn't actually signed a contract yet. They had to October, and it's now really October today. And he really needs to confirm himself. Otherwise, the likes of the Greenacres are going to shoulder the whole responsibility.
Okay, so can we get an update on how that contract is actually going?
We're
going
to speak to the lawyers. Yeah. Yeah. The joke is there that I'm a dude who does shuffle papers around the desk, and I work for a New Zealand law firm. So if any of them are listening, I hope I've got a job come Tuesday after the long weekend. Okay, so...
But they also have Danny Sanchez. Yeah. And that's another really good signing for them.
Yeah, it's a porn name. It's a porn name, Danny Sanchez. It is? It's a porn name.
But someone who doesn't have a porn name, Tony Warner, who they signed from Tranmere Rovers as their goalkeeper.
Right on. Okay, so he's a good lower leagues, honest goalkeeper. I don't know a lot about him, but it will be really important that guys like Tony Lockhead, Tim Brown, Mark Paston, these are big names in New Zealand football, and they need to fire up. Durante, we know about. Ben Sigmund, not bad, bit slow. Leo Bertos, excellent player. For me, if they get some injuries, if they lose key players in key positions, it's going to be a very long season. And I'm not sure they've got the legs to go anywhere near the finals. So my prediction is the wooden spoon.
Ooh, I'm going to stick and say ninth. I don't think that they will do that badly, but it won't be a pretty season for Wellington.
Well, one club it's been a pretty season for in New South Wales Premier League is Sydney Olympic FC. Now, they've won the league. They've brushed aside all before them. And the New South Wales Premier League Grand Final is happening tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Belmore Sports Ground against big, big rivals Sydney United. What's your prediction, Pete?
Well, look, Sydney Olympic have played fantastic football all year. They are an outstanding team. They're... Coach Peter Tekanis is a great guy. Looking at how the club's set up, it's the most professional club. And, yeah, look, looking at the Olympic supporters, some of their chants, I think, are my favourite.
Who can forget classics like...
Olympic, Olympic, Olympic. There's also Olympic for the A-League.
Yeah, and yeah, I'd like to see clubs like that given a chance, and I can't wait for the FFA Cup. I'd like to see, well, I wouldn't like to see it, but if Sydney have a really lame season.
Ooh, Olympic step up.
I'd like to see Lavichka, if he doesn't have a good season and he loses his contract, I think you could go no better than Peter Tsakanis for an A-League gig.
There you go. Now, looking at the other side of the team, the other team there. Other side of the pitch. Sydney United. Now, their squad is brilliant.
It is.
They've got Mark Rudin, Ufik Tale there. Those two by themselves, great signings. Now, right in front of them, they've got Steve Hayes, one of the best centre midfielders in the Premier League. Now, if any A-League club is looking for a centre midfielder, Steve Hayes. Bit of a shout-out there.
Totally, totally. Well, look, it is, of course, Mark Rudin and Ufik Tale's final games of football in professional football, in, you know, top-flight football. New South Wales Premier League is, you know, the breeding ground of all great players in our generation, or a lot of the great Socceroos at least, Harry Kewell, Brett Emerson, you know, guys who really cut their teeth, and Ufuk Tale and Mark Rudin are guys that have also been part of that nursery, and it's going to be really nice to see them play their final game of football, two great servants of our game, and really looking forward to them.
Now, to keep the prediction drum roll going, how do we reckon it's going to go?
It's really hard to look past Sydney Olympic. They have really had a very strong season. They won the league by no small margin, and I think there'd be no justice if they didn't win it. It is a grand final. Anything can happen, but I think Sydney Olympic will be too good.
Definitely. Olympic 2-1 for me. Yep. That's it.
And quickly before we move on to some English Premier League results, we also had some Brisbane State League.
Yeah, the Brisbane Premier League had their grand final. They actually had to replay the grand final because the first time around, the lights at the pitch didn't actually work too well.
Yeah, second half, it was in darkness.
Yeah, it was. So
if you close your eyes right now, if you're listening to the podcast, just wherever you are, if you're driving a car, then don't close your eyes.
Preferably not.
But if you, wherever you are, just close your eyes for a moment. They're closed. That's the feeling.
Ooh.
That's the feeling of that second half.
And you know what? That's also the atmosphere.
It was emotional. It was really intense.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's come back. Look, the teams who were in the final there, Rochdale Rovers, who are now my adopted Brisbane Premier League club.
Nice.
And Brisbane Wolves FC. Both teams have had really good seasons. Yep. And Rochdale getting a 3-1 win in that grand final. Now, what will actually annoy Brisbane Wolves supporters is when the first grand final was being played, They were in front 1-0.
Oh, snap.
And so for the replay, for them to lose at 3-1,
yeah,
not good.
Well, look, Rochdale Rovers are my namesake, Michael Rochek, Roach.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm gonna pick it up, check. I'm going to pick them up as my Brisbane-based side in the second tier. But looking at the very pinnacle of European football, for some at least, we're going to look at some English Premier League results. And we had some amazing, amazing drama this week with Carlos Tevez not getting up off the bench against Bayern Munich.
That was just hilarious.
And Mancini afterwards just went, he's finished. He's finished as a Man City player. Huge, because not a few days before, Mario Balotelli scored a goal and went over and hugged Mancini. Now, they've had their spat. They've had a big spat in the preseason in America. And, you know, it's bad timing for Carlos Tevez. Old Charlie boy, I think it might be over at Man City if the coach is saying that. It's clear that there's been dramas before, and it's clear that it's not going to work in the future. So, looking at the results, Aston Villa 2, Wigan 0. So that's not a small result for Aston Villa. Good to get them back on track. Rovers 0, Man City 4.
Now, that was a major, major result for Manchester City. Sergio Aguero getting gone off injured.
Yeah, big loss. But
hopefully things get better for the Manchester City.
Yeah. No, look, everything's going really well just for Sergio Aguero
He's second on the ladder for the top goal scorer so far this season.
And he's just come in. Like, he hadn't had a preseason in the Premier League. Yeah. He just stepped up, you know. what an amazing player. Another bloke who's really killing it is Luis Suarez at Liverpool.
Better believe it.
I might give you the mic for this one. It was the Merseyside derby, wasn't it?
Merseyside derby.
Big game of football.
Set the scene.
Bit of a kung fu fest usually, a few red cards.
Yeah, normally you'd see a Liverpool kiss or two, but it didn't happen this time around. Instead, it was just lovely piece of footwork. Andy Carroll getting a goal and Luis Suarez finishing it off, 82nd minute.
Yeah.
That's it.
Big, big goals for new players to score in that derby, isn't it?
Oh, like, amazing.
The cop loves Suarez already, but for Andy Carroll, that's
Suarez.
Massive goal.
Although he does need a dentist. So if you are a dentist, Luis Suarez needs a job.
And so does Carlos Tevez while we're at it. But, yeah, and also Manchester United had a reasonably comfortable win against Norwich at Old Trafford, although they didn't play the best football.
It's all right, a win's a win.
Yeah. Sunderland 2, West Bromwich Albion 2, so a closely fought match there. And Newcastle United, unbeaten this season, still 2-1 against Wolves.
Enormous.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, looking ahead, Bolton host Chelsea, who will be without Fernando Torres, who scored a goal, assisted in a goal, and then got sent off in 39 minutes. It doesn't go very well for Fernando,
even
when it does go well.
Yeah, there isn't much that Torres doesn't do on the pitch these days. Scores a goal, then, as you say, gets the assist and then gets sent off. It's just the peak of your football when you can do that.
That's right. I mean, and look, Stoke City play Swansea. That's a big game for them. They should have beaten Manchester United last week. It was 1-0. Then Peter Crouch stepped up, or headed up, and rose in
he
traffic.
He doesn't need to stand up. He's already there.
Yeah, he rose in traffic. He should have banged home a winner. But who was there? Manchester United's goalkeeper, David De Gea, who midweek, I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, the donut thief.
Got done for stealing a $2 donut. I mean, the guy can't catch, but he got caught. I think it's magic. I think it's amazing. I really think, like, there is not a better story in football than that.
The other games are Fulham and Queen's Park Rangers, but the big one, the London Derby.
Yeah, North Tottenham, London Derby.
Tottenham and Arsenal.
Again, we've got a player who's an ex-Arsenal player playing for Tottenham in Emmanuel Adebayor. So, big, big game of football there. Always a lot of feeling. I think Tottenham will probably shade them.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised if that happens. That's pretty much it, isn't it?
That's all we've got time for. It's been a pretty action-packed podcast, and it's going to be a lot more like this because the A-League season is upon us, and I am so G'd up for October 8, Melbourne against Sydney. Can't wait.
Yep, the A-League countdown, it's almost there. We're in single figures now. Just cannot wait. Don't forget, A-League launch is happening on Tuesday. Get down to that. 9 a.m. it starts at the Sydney Football Stadium. You've also got a iPhone app for the A-League as well as for the Socceroos. Both of them looking really good. And this week, we've also got new websites for all the clubs.
Great.
Stay tuned for that.
Excellent week in social media for football as well as, you know, the build-up to the season. I can't wait. Supernova Pete, thank you very much for your time on the decks.
Anytime.
And I've been Michael Rochek. That is the Sack on Sunday podcast. Enjoy your day.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.